Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. The remnant of Jews left behind after the Babylonian invasion wanted to flee to Egypt to escape their wrath after Ishmael assassinated the governor appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah warned them not to go. Did they listen? Of course not. Then they doubled down on their folly by abducting God's prophet, going so far as to reveal they were secret Kabbalists who worshipped the Queen of Heaven. Eventually, they stoned Jeremiah when he continued to prophesy against their actions. The remnant rebuilt their lives within the safety of Egypt's borders until the Babylonians invaded 21 years later, and Jeremiah's prophecies were fulfilled. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today is going to be a very sad message. We're going to be talking about the doomed remnant. And someone says, why do we talk about this? Because it does affect us. And I want you today to think about your time when you are going to leave this earth. Those in the chapel, will you stand with me as we pray? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that we can bring this message forth. Let it be a warning. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that people will repent, seek you, that they will never have to think about hell or the lake of fire. Father God, give us enough sanity that we will cling to Jesus Christ, stay in the Bible, and walk closely with you, Lord. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you got an outline here, I'm going to start in Jeremiah chapter 41. And when I'm doing that, I'm trying to unwrap this little dude here to take away. So sometimes the wrapping is so bad that you can't get it. But here we go. So that will take care of the tickling in my throat. So I'm going to take you back to about 550 B.C., in that time period, 560 B.C. Jerusalem had been burned, temple destroyed, the majority of the Jewish people had been marched off to Babylon. And as if God had stopped a virtual time run here, they simply looked in silence and grief as the southern kingdom of Judah had come to a humiliating and wretched end. Jerusalem was burning. There were heaps of dead bodies on the streets, and the temple had been looted. Riblah featured the slain corpse of the Jewish leadership lying in the temporary courtyard of King Nebuchadnezzar. Governor Gedaliah had been murdered with his staff, along with the Babylonian garrison in Mizpah. Ishmael brutally murdered even more Jewish stragglers coming to Mizpah. Johanan and a few thousand Jews outside the city of Shimham in southern Judah were now holding Jeremiah against his will. The God had looked in dismay at each other and wondered why the remnant was ignorant of the fact that God did not want any Jews back in Egypt. Johanan and his group were supposed to be in Babylon or in the countryside in the new Babylonian province that Gedaliah had been appointed governor. The God had decided to use Jeremiah to bring the remnant to their senses. Would they listen to the prophet, or would they use their free will to rebel? I want you to see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at this time sitting in heaven watching the huge screen and seeing all these things and simply saying, we love people. We want to save them. We want to bring the Redeemer to the earth. And it looks like people do not understand. With that, they resumed the time run to see what the people would do. Johanan, his leaders and the people were a mixed group. Most of them were Kabbalists and worshipped the Queen of Heaven. But they also realized there was a real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they needed to discover if Egypt was a viable destination. Knowing that Jeremiah was a prophet of the living God, they gathered around him and wanted to know what God wanted for them. Notice here, when we read the scriptures, that they said, your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was not their God. It was Jeremiah's God. Their God was Lucifer. I want you to see this group. It's small little town in a desert area in Israel. And there were men and women, boys and girls, and they were simply had a few belongings. They were refugees. And they had seen the disaster around Jerusalem. They were bewildered, just like people today are bewildered. And let's read now what the Bible says about it. Jeremiah chapter 42. Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jeshaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, came near. And said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech you, our supplication be accepted before you, and pray for us unto the Lord, the God, even for all this remnant. We are left but a few, and many as thine eyes do behold us. That the Lord, your God, may show us the way, where we may walk, and the thing that we may do. They have been uprooted. They lost their homes. They had a few belongings with them. They were refugees. And they were bewildered. And they were gathered around a prophet. They knew that he was anointed. He had the power. They were not sure how they were related to that. But they knew that he had power with God. In verse number 4, we read this. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. It shall come to pass, whatsoever thing that the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Jeremiah said, I don't know what God is going to say. But whatever it is, I will give it to you straight. Then they said to Jeremiah, verse 5, the Lord be true and faithful witness between us, if you do not even according to all the things for which the Lord your God shall send you to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. I've been standing before people over the years. They ask for advice, marriages, people simply changing job situation, young people, what should they do, and where should they go for their education, should they work? And they said that we want to hear from God. But you know, most people have already made up their mind. This is what we want to hear. Line up with what we want. Don't give us anything different. Now, God is God. And he is a plan. And he simply does not care. Listen closely now. He doesn't care about your preferences. He doesn't care about your feelings. He doesn't care about your sentimentality. God wants one thing. He wants the best for you, to prepare you for eternity. Most people are preparing for here and now. And God says, well, that's fine. I'll give you food. I'll give you money. I'll take care of you. But I'm not really interested in that. I'm interested in your character, your spiritual growth. I want to prepare you for eternity. Most people don't like that. Now, we read here, on here from verses 7 and 8 here. And it came to pass after 10 days. Notice now, if you says, God, I need an answer. God says, fine, I'll give an answer. But God, I want it now. I want it yesterday. Can you see all these people just milling around? Jeremiah's praying. And now, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no word from the Lord. This is when people get antsy. This is when you make mistakes. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. He got the word now. He said, I have heard from God. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, all the captains of the force which were with him, and all the people, the least even to the greatest. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present the supplication before him, if you will still abide in this land, then I will build you, not pull you down. I will plant you, not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil I have done unto you. But in other words, God said, now I'm changing. I want to bless you. You have come. You have asked for forgiveness. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of me, says the Lord. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. So, God is speaking through Jeremiah saying this. God said, you stay in Israel. You stay in Judah. I will protect you. I will bless you. I will prosper you. I'll be with you. You will have a wonderful life. Now, is that what he wanted to hear? No. They remember the Babylonians. They remember the Ammonites. They remember Ishmael. And they simply wanted to be blessed to go to Egypt. So God now first simply said, if you obey me, this is what I will do. I'll bless your socks off. You will have whatever you want. You have never had it so good before. But look at verse number 13 now. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger or bread, and there we will dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord Yoram of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your face to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there or to dwell there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all men that set their face to go to Egypt, who sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. None of them shall remain or escape from the evil I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of God, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury have been poured forth on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you, when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O you remnant of Judah, go not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you to this day. For you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it unto you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Now therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, in the place whither you desire to go and to sojourn. God doesn't play around. He said, obey me, and I will bless you. Disobey me, and I will destroy you. This goes for Christians today. In the United States, in all parts of the world, the Christian churches has veered off the course. We do everything in the church except what we should do. And people are not really walking with God. And God is simply saying this. The time is coming when there will be a catastrophic event on this world. The Antichrist is coming down in the future. It's going to be bad. More than bad, it's going to be horrible. God is saying this to us now as a church. I'm talking about church in generality. If we obey him, if we increase our prayer time, if we repent of our sins, if we turn to him, he will bless us. But if we do not, bad things will happen. Remember this. God is not sentimental. God is not like some parents, where there's some parents that simply, particularly talk, let's say you talk about a mother, and she will simply say, you know, to the child, don't do this, don't do that. And the child ignored them. And the children will not pay attention until they hear the pitch of their mother's voice so high, her face is red like a beet. And then they said, oh, Mom now is serious. Yes, Mom, I will do this. God does not work that way. God is not going to change his pitch. He's not going to get red in the face. He speaks to you once, maybe twice, and if you don't obey, he will simply say, fine. And when you don't expect it, the whack will come. It can be a loss of job. Somebody die in your family. It might be that you suddenly diagnosed with cancer, and your whole world falls apart. God is serious. Let me try to illustrate that. When I attended first and second grade, I had a female teacher. In those days, the teacher would go with a class from year one to year two. And I was the worst child in that class. I mean, I cut up. I would shoot rubber bands at the girls. I would do all kind of things. She couldn't control me. And at the end of the 2 years, as we had a graduation from the second grade, she told my mother, "You got a reprobate son. He's going to end up in prison. Mark my words." My mom went home crying. I got into third grade now. And this time, it was a male teacher, man. First day in the class, he said, "Now, I want to have a discussion with you." He says, "I will not allow any cut-up." He said, "I will give you no warning." He says, "Now, if you behave, we're going to have a very good time. But if you don't behave, you're going to have a very bad time." I'm sitting there, third grade, you know, just laughing at the teacher, you know, and thinking, you know, man, I'm gonna have fun with the girls here, you know, I'm gonna make life miserable for them. So, the first week went on, you know, and I was one day really cutting up, and I didn't notice anything, and then suddenly the teacher was right behind me. He just snuck up on me. And he went, boom! And I flew out of my little seat, laid on the floor. And I looked up like this. And he said, "I warned you." He says, "I warned you. I'm not speaking a second time. Did you get the message, son?" "Yes, sir." I had him for 4 years. I never opened my mouth except, "Yes, sir, no, sir." "Oh, yes, I was a very good student." He reminds me of God. Because when God gets upset and he's going to discipline, you will get a whack. And it might be you have a car accident. And you might lose a leg. You might lose an eye. God is not sentimental. God will hit you with whatever it takes to turn you to where he wants you to be. What did the people do? Chapter 43. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah has made an end of speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying to Jeremiah, notice now, all the proud men, said to Jeremiah, "You speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, go into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch the son of Neriah sets you against us, for to live to the hands of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us captives into Babylon." How many times have I been accused of being a false preacher? "You haven't heard from God. That's not in the Bible. We don't like this." I have learned this. That there are some people that ask for advice, and I simply said, "I don't have any. I see rebellion in them. I'm not going to waste my time on them. I just let them go." So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the force, and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, his son of Kareah, and all the captains of the force, took all the remnants of Judah that were returned from all nations where they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and king's daughters, every person Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tahpanhes. So God let them walk into Egypt. Notice this. When God is speaking to you, do not do this, and you do it anyway, He will not stop you. He will let you go. And this is a tragedy that we haven't understood. It would be much better if I'd be like my third grade teacher had whacked me the first week. He lined me up for the next 4 years. But God will let you go. In America today, a marriage lasts 7 years. The divorce rate is between 60 and 70%. If a couple have been married for 6.5 years, that's a long time. Why do marriages break up? Because people are rebellious. They simply going to do it my way or the highway. And God says, okay, that's what you want to do, I'll let you do it. But there's a cost. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost your children. It's going to cost your grandchildren. America is where we are today because the men and women that married in the 50s and the 60s had children, didn't raise them right. Many of them got divorced, drinking, drugs, children just tossed to the wind. These are the children that took over. And today, we have a generation that doesn't know God, has no respect for the Bible. And I tell you what, I told people this 30, 40 years ago. If you don't take care of the children that you have now, I said, when you end up in a nursing home or in a hospital, you're going to have these, I'm not going to call them the B word, but you're going to have these children handle you. And they're not going to like you. They're going to be nasty to you. We sown in the wind. Now, we go down here to the next verse, number 8. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tahpanhes, saying, take great stones in your hand, hide them in the clay in a brick kiln, which is in the entry of Pharaoh's house, in Tahpanhes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send you, and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid. He shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he comes, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and deliver such as are for death to death, such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the house of the gods of Egypt. He shall burn them and carry them away captives. He shall array himself for the land of Egypt. As shepherd puts on his garment, he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break the images of Beth Shemesh. This is the land of Egypt, and the house of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. God said, tell the people this. It's going to be bad. Now, I remember in 2016, when President Trump took office, he was elected in 2016, so we had 4 years. And if you remember it, gas prices way down. We were paying about $1.90 or so. We thought that was a lot of money. Plenty of work. Economy booming. And I said this. From this pulpit, I said, now, God is blessing us, but we need to repent as a nation. We need to repent. Well, everybody banked on that Trump will be reelected. He was not. It was not that he didn't have the people voting for him, but the election was rigged. So now we got the man in the big nursing home in the White House. And what are you paying for gas today? I just paid about $5.19 yesterday. Have you looked at the meat prices? I look at the meat prices and I said, I'm not going to buy that. I'm not going to pay $16 for a small piece of meat. So I'm eating chicken, hot dogs, whatever, fish. But I'm going to pay that. Your rent has gone up. I just noticed this, that the foreclosures are increasing now. There's like an avalanche coming down. People are losing their homes. They can't pay their rent. Can't pay their mortgage. We are right now in a free-fall down spiral. Why? Like God said, I blessed you. Did you turn to me? No. Okay. So now, I'm going to judge you. What are you going to do? Well, this is the time to repent. Will we repent? I'm not sure. I learned this. People have hard hearts. Very hard. I want to go to chapter 44 right now. And I want to pick it up here in verse number 15. This afternoon, Jeremiah has got several more prophecies in chapter 44. And the people now is responding. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, notice now, they spoke to Jeremiah, but they were really speaking to God, because Jeremiah represented God. As for the word, that you spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto you. We're not going to obey God. We're not going to listen to you. But we will certainly do whatsoever things go forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the queen of heaven, to pour out drink offering unto her as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the city of Judah, in the street of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of victuals, food, and were well and saw no evil. These people now stood there, Johanan and the rest of them said, when we served Beelzebub, when we served Lucifer, we had a good time. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, to pour our drink offering unto her, we have wanted all things, have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. He simply said this. When we left Satan, Lucifer, Baal, whatever you want to call him, things went bad. Look at what happened in America today. Do you know slavery is well in America? No, we don't have any black slaves. We have women slaves, white, black, Chinese, Mexican girls. And there are probably thousands upon thousands of girls, age 15, 16, 17, up to 20, that had been marked in the back of their bodies with a mark. They're slaves. And every night, they are rented out, just like you rent out a car, you rent out a house. They are rented out, abused. Then the pimp is paid for it. Why is that happening? I'll tell you why. Who was responsible? The customer. The men, the women, that are using these sex slaves in America, in Europe, Middle East. They are the ones God says, you will pay. And when I mean pay, they will pay. Why do they have drug problems? Why are they bringing in fentanyl or other drugs? Because they're customers. If there would be no customers for drugs, there would be no drug cartels. Just like business. If nobody goes to a bakery and buy stuff there, the bakery would close. As long as they got customers, it will continue. Verse number 19. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured our drink offering to her, did we make cakes to worship her and pour our drinks offerings unto her without our men? The example said, when we served Lucifer, we had a good time. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, to the men and to the women, to the people which had given him the answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the city of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember you? And they did not come into his mind. So the Lord could not longer bear because of the evil you were doing and because of the abomination you committed. Therefore is your land a desolation, an astonishment, and a curse without an inhabitant as this day. Because you have burned incense, because you have sinned against the Lord, have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his laws, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore this evil has happened to you, as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah sent to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, and you in the land. This is the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouth, fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows to be a vow, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour our drink offerings, and to surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear you the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man in Judah, in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword, by the famine, until there be an end of them. If you do move down now, we had a true confession here on the outline. 21 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar invaded Egypt in 568 B.C. and he laid waste to its cities. We know through history and archaeology that Egypt was destroyed. The event was not recorded by Jeremiah, because the Jewish leadership in Egypt had sent him to death by stoning him before the Babylonians arrived. Jeremiah died in Egypt. He was stoned. He went to paradise. Today he's in heaven. I'm sure that Jeremiah has cried tears. We have his book, Lamentations, that he shed many tears. And he said, why? What did I do as a prophet? As a prophet, why did I fail? Jeremiah did not fail. The people that rebelled, they failed. Over the years, I've been pastoring about four churches. Fourth one is now. I've had larger congregations. I'm not the average pastor. I can be pretty tough. And I found out that there's a whole bunch of people simply, they came, they heard, they left. And they simply voted with their feet and says, well, we can't take this. So it's a remnant. So they want to go and hear preachers, the music, the smoke machines, the bands, the worship teams, little sermonette. But you know what? If you go to a hospital today, I'm not talking about COVID-19 now, hospitals are filled with people, cancer, arthritis, diabetes. Many have lost their toes. Some have their legs amputated. People in their 60s, 70s, and 80s are not doing well. And they are paying now for what they did when they were younger. Do you hear a lot about repentance in nursing homes? Not really. People are defiant, playing cards, swearing, dirty jokes, messing around. It's bad out there. Let me read the summary here. God's plan was to move the majority of the Jews to Babylon as a punishment for their sin. It was not God's will for Johanan and his group to use Egypt as a refugee. And this is why most of the Jews there were slain. When Nebuchadnezzar came, a handful of these people survived. Majority of them died. Page 3 of my outline. As if God had looked down, the northern kingdom of Israel was never redeemed. They were assimilated into the Assyrian Empire, and the few that returned became known as Samaritans. During the time of Christ, we hear about the Samaritan woman at the well. There were about 1 million Samaritans living then in Galilee and Judah. The Samaritan revolted. 495, 529, 556, 572, against the Byzantine Empire. As a result, the Samaritan population was reduced to 30,000. Today, you find 1,000 Samaritans in two villages in the West Bank in Israel. 1,000 left of the 10 northern tribes. Gone. Of the Jews taken to captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar, the majority opted to stay in Babylon, Persia, where they had developed flourishing businesses. Only a remnant returned to Jerusalem. Only 42,360 men and women decided to return after 70 years. God had a great plan for the 12 tribes of Judah, but Lucifer hijacked it, turned to tragedy. Satan was able to deceive the majority of the Israelites into following him in much the same way that he was able to dupe and mislead one-third of the angels. I want to take you right now some bonus scriptures here. I want to start in Hebrews chapter 10. If you take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to read some verses to you here, and I'm going to comment on them. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to begin it with verse number 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. It's talking about Christians now. If you willfully sin, the blood of Jesus will not cover that. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to end up in a deep trouble here at the judgment seat of Christ. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which had devoured the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy to two or three witnesses. Of a much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden afoot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm thinking about a particular man right now. He's born in a Christian family, accepted Christ as a child, but for some reason rebelled when he got older. He got married, had two or three children, and then that marriage broke up, and then he found someone else and married, more children, and then that marriage broke up. And now he has some children out of wedlock. That man, when he comes to the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to be judged. God is not going to say, well, your parents didn't do this or that to you, so poor little son. He's going to say, you purposely had sex and the women you had sex with got pregnant. You fathered children. You abandoned them. They are lost souls. Your children. Future grandchildren. That man is going to weep and cry. And Jesus could have said, you are going to have to do some heavy payments here for what you did. Turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, you don't hear this preaching particularly in Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, whatever the churches are. We have Pentecostal churches. And the reason for that is, it does not fill the offering plates. People don't like to hear that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Look in verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. At the judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be angels there that the Bible calls tormentors. I'm not going to read that scripture now, but Jesus said that you shall not come out until you pay the furthest farthing. We're not talking about salvation now. We're talking about sins that you did not put under the blood. You willfully sinned. You made a decision to sin, knowing that you sin. And God said, I'm not covering that. You will. It's going to cost that man I just talked about. He's not going to have any high position in heaven. He's going to be one of those that they're going to polish the golden streets. He's not in hell, but he's going to be in heaven, and he's going to simply say, you know, was I stupid? My question to you is this. How is your life? Closing scriptures in Revelation 20, verse 7. Revelation 27. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out and deceive the nation which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog, Magog, to get them together to battle, number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp in Saint Abel in the beloved city, and fire came down from God of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, or the beast or the false prophet, or, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. The lake of fire is not temporary. It's eternal. A lot of people, I heard people leave this ministry because they said, I can't believe that the lake of fire is going to be forever. I can't handle it. So they leave the ministry. That doesn't change anything. It simply means that you're like the guys in Egypt. They said, well, we're just going to go away. Didn't change anything. If God said it, I believe it. It settles it. If it is in the Bible, it will be so. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it. From his face, the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here's the bottom line. If you're not born again, when you die, you will go to hell. In hell, you will sit there and roast until the day after the 1,000-year kingdom, when you will be brought up for trial. There you'll be sentenced to the lake of fire. The lake of fire will have different punishment. It's not going to be the same. And when you stand there, not saved, it is too late. It doesn't matter if you say, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I want to repent. And Jesus is going to look at you with cold eyes and say, too late. Remember this. Once you die, you can never change your position. You have to make a decision on earth when you are alive. I've seen people that said, well, when I get old, I'm going to accept Christ because right now I want to do this or that. When they got older, they got Alzheimer's. They can't talk. They're laying in some kind of a nursing home. And they're dying. They can't accept Christ. If you're in a coma, you cannot say, read the Bible to me. You cannot. It's over. Do you understand the severity? You're in the chapel today. We have some that are here that are maybe 6, 7 years old. And we have some like me and Satyrus. We're in our 80s. But all of us are going to die one day. Every single one of us. We're not going to come out alive out of this planet. And when that day comes, if you are not saved, it will be the lake of fire. If you're a Christian and you're sinning willfully, you're doing what you want to do with this and that, you will go to the judgment seat of Christ. And there, whatever you didn't ask God to forgive you for, whatever you did not repent for, Jesus is going to say, okay, you repented of this, you repented of that, that's paid for. But here are some things you did willfully, and you never asked me to forgive you. This you will pay for yourself. He will sentence you, tormentors will come in, and you will scream and holler, doesn't matter. You're going to have some pain that is, you cannot describe it. It'll be temporary, but you're going to have some pain. So, I warn you. So what I want you to take home with today is simply this. You can't mess around with God. You can't simply say, well, I'm going to do this or that. Simply ask yourself today, Am I walking with the Lord? Am I obedient? Am I doing something I should not do? If you find that you're doing something you should not do, then ask God to forgive you. If you're watching right now, you're not saved. Well, this is your golden opportunity. And you might say, but how do I get saved? It's very simple. Number one, you confess that you're a sinner. Secondly, you confess that you believe there's a God. Then you confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is his son. That Jesus died on the cross, paid for your sins, rose on the third day. And through his death and resurrection, you can be saved. And then you say, God, forgive me. Jesus, come on in and save me. And he will save you. When we finish here, the screen will change while you're looking at us. Three crosses will come up, and you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell come up and simply say, my friend. And he will take you about 6, 7, 8 minutes, read some scriptures, pray with you to cement in that you know that today you can get saved. That's the best decision you can make. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, you're in different stages. I said it every week. Some of you are where you should be. Praise God. Some of you are down here where you should not be. Then we have people between. Examine yourself. Listen to what I told you. I'm not going to hold you responsible. But you are going to be held responsible. And when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, you can't say, well, I don't believe in this, you know. I don't believe in it. They're going to say, shut up. Stand before the judge and receive your judgment. No buts, no ifs. I might be tough, but I'd rather scare the hell out of you and have you to repent than for you to end up in a place where you don't want to be. The choice is yours, Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word and the multitude of examples that have been laid down. And as we watch these Israelites in captivity and they never repented, Lord. That's the state of man is very, it's hard to deal with. So we thank you, Father, for the word that tells it like it is. We can't make the word line up with us. We have to line up with the word. So we thank you for helping each and every born-again believer to keep on target. And also we want to lift up the situation in China, where so many are under a lockdown open-air prison program. And we know it's going, you know, they're going to try to implement this worldwide. We thank you for some repentance to take place. We thank you, Lord, that there is a remnant and that you will protect them. Thank you for strength to not bow the knee here and now, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven, All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 67th part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, The Doomed Remnant. The remnant of Jews left behind after the Babylonian invasion wanted to flee to Egypt to escape their wrath after Ishmael assassinated the governor appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah warned them not to go. Then they doubled down on their folly by abducting God's prophet, going so far as to reveal they were secret Kabbalists who worshipped the Queen of Heaven. Eventually, they stoned Jeremiah when he continued to prophesy against their actions. The remnant rebuilt their lives within the safety of Egypt's borders until the Babylonians invaded 21 years later, and Jeremiah's prophecies were fulfilled. God's plan was to move a remnant of Jews to Babylon, not to Egypt, and this is why the majority were slain, because they continued to disobey the Lord. This begs the question, are you in God's will, or just doing your own thing that ultimately leads to nowhere? This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1858. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.